1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look with us in verse number 1. The Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he simply puts it in a, I guess we could say, a format that would be easily understood. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat. For hereto you are not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you yet not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Amen. You may be seated this evening. As we came into 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And some might say tonight that Paul was being kind of harsh. He basically told the church that you've got more world in you than you've got God in you. And I'll say this to you this evening. We expect when somebody gets saved in the house of God, we expect them to know everything that we know. We expect when somebody comes into the doors first time that they've been in church their whole life. Let me say this to you. We're seeing a generation that's not grown up in church. We're seeing a generation that's not been in the house of God. We're seeing a generation that hasn't heard the preaching like you have heard. And I'll say this, it's easy for a new generation that's just came into the house of God to be easily offended. And I'll say this, it's easy to upset somebody in the house of God. It's easy to get somebody riled up. It's easy to get somebody distraught in the house of God in these days. Why is that so? It's because, listen to me, it's not that we're being mean or facetious or mischievous, but we live in a generation that's tender. Amen. They get upset easily. They get offended easily. And I'll say this to you. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, listen, he said, you've not got the right mindset in this. He said, your eyes aren't set correctly. He said, you're more carnal than you are spiritual. And he says, so I'm writing to you as on that basis. And he says, basically, he said, I'm feeding you with milk. He said, I'm being gentle. He said, I'm loving you. He says, I'm being patient with you. And I'll say, we need to be as a church patient to new people coming in. We expect somebody come in that's lived their whole life in sin. And the first time they come in, we expect them to know the Bible front to back. Listen to me. It is our job as a church to teach them and disciple them and to instruct them and to do it with love and to do it with meekness and to do it with wholeheartedness. And Paul was telling them, he says, I've got to write to you on this level. He said, there's even heard that there's division among you. And I'll say to you this evening, a church that is divided will fall. A house that is divided will fall. And he says, you've got some that said, you know what? I'm a follower of Apollos. And you got some that says, I'm a follower of Paul. And boy, what happened in the New Testament when Jesus came onto the scene? There was some that said, well, we're followers and disciples of John the Baptist, and we're disciples of Jesus. Now I'll say this to you this evening. I thank God for every church up and down this road. I thank God for every church that's in Wilkes County in the state of North Carolina and every missionary that's in this world that's doing God's work. I thank God for them. But I'll say this. You're not followers of Josh Blevins. And they're not followers of Mickey York or Curtis Ponder or so on and so forth, Gwen Anderson, and so on. The pastors are up down this road. Listen to me. We're not certain disciples in certain places. Now, I know a lot of folks think a lot of their church, but this church is not better than any other church. Did you know that? And some folks, boy, they blow their church up that it's so much better than that church. Listen to me. If it's a church of 10 people with a man of God preaching, they're as important as a church of 400 tonight. Now, I know that that's hard. Well, we've got all this going on and all that going on. Well, I thank God for that. But that does not mean that church is any godlier than the church of 10. And I'll say this to you. We've got to have the understanding, and you'll hear me say this. I like to get our local churches and our local pastors or our Bible believing that we're related to. I like to get together and worship with them. Why? Because we're going to worship together in heaven. And it's okay for God's people and God's men to get to work together and to get to fellowship together and to work for the glory of God. Because here's the thing. Paul told him, he says, you know what? He said, I've planted and Apollos watered. Now he said, I want you to get an understanding of this. We're talking about farming and we've covered plowing the ground and planting the seed. But we're talking about workers in the field. He said, I've planted, Apollos watered. He said, but God give the increase. And I'll say this to you this evening. This is not my church. This is not a dictatorship. This is not any sort of that matter. Me and Brother James ought to be able to work together. We ought to be able to minister together. And if Brother James, let's just say this, and I'm not going to put it anywhere like this, but let's say Brother James gets to lead somebody to the Lord. That does not mean that Brother James is higher than anybody else. And that does not mean, Brother Junior, that you're lower than Brother James. But Brother Junior, you may have went by and planted that seed 20 years ago. And me and Brother James may have came over there and just kind of weeded around the seed. And I might have gave the word and Brother James got to go back and he got to see God give the increase. Now I'll say this, it took all of us working together to see somebody get saved. And in your church, it takes everybody functioning and working together to see somebody saved. Do you realize tonight not everybody can plant seeds? Well, preacher, we can tell everybody about Jesus. Do you know tonight there's some that's better weeders than they are planters? You say, what's that? They can get rid of anybody quicker than anybody you ever seen. There's some, listen to me, when we were growing up and we worked in the garden, not everybody toted the bucket of taters and made sure the eye was up. Not everybody walked around and dug the hole and made sure the squash plant was in. We all had certain things we had to do. But when we worked together, the garden flourished. Now you can work in your garden today, but unless God blesses it with the sunshine and the rain and the nutrients from the atmosphere, listen to me, you can do all the things right, but if God ain't in it, it'll not grow. And I'll say this to you this thing. I thank God for being a pastor of a church where people enjoy working together, where people enjoy fellowshipping together, where people don't mind getting together and doing some work around the house of God in fellowship and in love. I've never listened to him. Now, I know we pick and cut up, and poor old Rusty, he's took a beating this week at work. He just can't get done right. We've picked on. We've had a rough week picking on people in long hours, but we like to get around. And I'll say this, when you come to Ron Baptist, you better not be wearing your feelings on your shoulder. You say, why is that? Somebody's going to hurt your feelings if you are. And everybody looks at me bug-eyed. Don't y'all act like that. We like to pick and go on and laugh and cut up and enjoy one another. But I'll say this to you. We can't pick and cut up the same way with everybody that I can with Brother James. Or I can with Brother Odin or Brother Chuck or some of the others. We have to approach them differently. And especially our younger people that are coming in, we must be patient with them. We must encourage them. We must love on them. And especially, now I'll say this, they've been coming here 2 years. They begin to learn how to dish it back out to everybody else. Brother Chuck was quiet when he came. He's kind of getting riled up and loud spoken every now and then. Brother Dan, he's quiet. He don't know what's going to happen when God leaves him in here another year. He'll be back there gouging everybody else. But it opens us up. We got to have a good time. Don't take this wrong, but we've got to have good time. We've got to have good fellowship. But we've got to be able to function and work together as a group. Not everybody can be a cook Sunday morning. Not everybody can be an egg beater. Not everybody can be a biscuit maker. How many of y'all can make biscuits in here? Amen. I ain't seen a man one do this. Let me tell you something, men. Pillsbury makes some wonderful biscuits in a can. Amen. Timmy looks at me. Timmy stuck his hand up. So you are a biscuit maker. Listen to me. There's frozen biscuits you can buy. But you know what? Not everybody can be a biscuit maker. Not everybody can be the drink pourer or the ice dipper. Or not everybody can be the usher or the greeter. It's everybody working together. Now I want you to notice what Paul tells them. He says, look, he says, there's really no Paul, there's no Apollos. He said in verse number 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. So that means we've got to work together. We've got to fellowship together. So when we're working in our field and we've disked it and we've plowed up the ground, we've laid off the rows, and we're getting ready to plant the seeds, we've got to find our positions. But you know what's more amazing? Is once we plant it, we ought to pray about it. We ought to pray about it. I know some of you, I've listened long enough. Some of you plant your garden, and when you get done, you get at the end of it, and you pray over it. I've even heard some and been around some that prayed, and I've heard prayers like this, God, I did all I can do. And God, if it's going to bear fruit, you're going to have to give it. Can I say this to you? We can do all we can do at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. We can keep remodeling. We can keep updating. We can keep working. But I'll say this. It is not us who will continue to grow Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. Now, I got to know Bobby last night. He plays quiet back there on Sundays and Wednesdays. He's not really talking. But last night now, me and him at Baptist Hospital, we got to talk about Duke basketball and other things. And he's a pretty good talker. But, Rob, I'm going to ask you a question, if that's all right. How did you find out about Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle? Huh? Melvin. So Melvin planted a seed. Brother Chuck, how did you find out about Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle? I come see him. You know how I went and seen Brother Chuck? Somebody sent me to see him. Somebody was concerned about him that was coming here at that time and sent me to Brother Chuck's house. To say, did you know Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle existed before that? They kind of just grins. You say, preacher, what do you mean? You see, when we're working together, God will bless it. God will send people in. I mean, Dan and Angela, they know James and Brittany got invited. You know what? We can invite 1,000 people, but it's going to take God moving them to this area. I mean, we can invite people, but it's going to take God working on them. It's going to take God providing and preparing them. Now, notice what he said. He said, but it's God that gives the increase. So we can only do so much. There is a foundation that is laid. The foundation is Jesus Christ. So we build upon Jesus and nothing else. We don't build upon what we think. We don't build upon what we believe. We don't build upon our desires or our opinions. We build everything around Jesus. You know what ought to be the center of our field? The S-O-N. If anything is going to happen here, it's going to have to be because of the S-O-N. What is that? That is the Son. What will happen tonight if our people work together? Can I say this? There has got to be harmony among the leaders. In Isaiah 52 and verse number 8, the Bible says, thy watchmen shall lift up their voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again in Zion. Can I say this to you this evening? Brother Odin and Brother Johnny, there are deacons. And Dad's our assistant pastor, and Joe's our young preacher. But we cannot, listen to me, we have all got to be on the same page. And I try to keep us all on the same page. I try to keep us all going in the same direction. And our Sunday school teachers have all got to have the same motive. Everything that is done has got to be eye to eye. How many of y'all ever been toe to toe? That means you're opposing. Now, if I have one thought process, and Brother Johnny has another thought process, and Brother Odin has another thought process, and our assistant pastor and our young preacher has different ways we're pulling, guess what? We'll pull this thing apart. But if we work together, guess what? Now let me say this. If we work together as leaders of the church will work together in unity as well. You realize it only takes one person to start pulling in a direction, and they'll try to get people on their side. I've never understood that. I have never understood how there can be sides in a church. Now, I'm literally not physically speaking about the building. Yes, I understand the building has sides. But what I'm talking about is somebody gets disgruntled. Somebody gets unhappy. Somebody gets upset. Rather than fixing what's wrong, and maybe it was a misunderstanding or a miscommunication, or maybe there was just a hurt feelings. Maybe, Brother Chuck, they were carnal rather than spiritual, as the Apostle Paul was writing about. Why do they start calling people and start trying to persuade them to feel the way they do? I've never understood that. You see, what happened is everybody's done lost focus about Jesus. Everybody's done lost focus about what the work's about. Everybody's done lost focus about it. They're more worried about me rather than giving God glory. You ever met anybody that's all about me? What I want, what I'm going to do, what's best for me? Listen to me. If somebody comes to me in church and they're telling me how they're not getting anything, how they're not getting this, and they're not being here, and they're not feel like they're being treated right, the problem is they're all about themselves. You realize we can be selfish and rob the church from the glory of God? Amen. You realize tonight that we can be so selfish that we can quench the Holy Ghost? And so when our leaders get together, you want me to tell you, America's in a problem because our leaders ain't together. There's no unity. They're trying to unity, but the country is divided. And when the leaders become divided, you see America become divided. And I'll say this, there has to be leaders in harmony. Not only do we have to have leaders in harmony, but there has to be a sense of contrition amongst the believers. Notice what Jeremiah 50 and verse 4 says. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, and they and the children of Judah together going and weeping, and they shall go and seek the Lord their God. There has to be a sense of contrition. What's that contrition? It's prayer. Preacher, why do you start every service in the altar praying? How else do you ought to thank the Lord to start it? Don't you think we ought to pray together? Pray for God to move. Pray for God to work. There has to be a sense of direction. I truly believe that meeting in the altar, we are focusing why we are here. What did Jesus say? His house was what? A house of prayer. Listen to me. It's not a social gathering. It's not a committee club. It's not an opinion place. It's not a place of politics. The house of God is a house of prayer, a house of worship, a house of sanctity, a house of pureness, a house of holiness. God's house is a special place. So when we come in our field to work, we ought to have a sense of contrition. Notice this. One day we're all going to be together. Did you realize that? We're all really, now listen to me. I realize Rhonda is our field to work in. I realize that's our garden, to so speak, to work. But do you realize we can also be working in the Philippines with Brother David De La Paz? You realize we can also be working in South America when Brother Worth Johnson goes, and we give money to help purchase Bibles and to help them on that mission trip. We can be working in Chile and South America in a mission field there. But I know what we're understanding is that Rhonda is our field, but yet there's a bigger field. A field, Brother Junior, that brings us all together. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 10 and verse number 16, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." Jesus said, look, he said, I've got other sheep that you don't see. How many of you reckon Peter thought about you? James, John, Thomas, Philip. Any of those disciples, how many of you think they thought about the year 2018? Let me ask you something. Back in 1999, when it was getting ready to turn the year 2000, how many of you really thought the world was going to end? You know what? It didn't miss a beat. It just kept going. How many of you know people that went and bought sugar and flour and put all that stuff in their freezer because they thought that it was going to crash and everything was going to shut down and they wouldn't be able to buy anything? Anybody know anybody like that? Be honest. Hold your hand up. No, y'all put, some of y'all did that. That's what's wrong. You're like, preacher, I don't know somebody. I am somebody. But you know what? We're in the year 2018. And times just kept a clicking. You know what? There's going to be sheep of this fold that's later on if the Lord doesn't come back. There's sheep of this fold that's been went on to be in glory. They're in the pasture grazing. There's those that have done died that are still of this fold. Who are they? The Bible says, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So even Jesus is teaching us of unity. He says we're going to be of one fold. Now say this. We ought to be able to work together with Mount Calvary, Maple Springs, Little Elkin, Macedonia. We ought to be able to function together in one purpose, and the purpose is the promotion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I'll say this. Jesus even prayed for this in John chapter 17 and verse number 21, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. There's got to be a unity. Now, I'll say this. Some of you will say, well, preacher, I wouldn't go to church down there because so-and-so goes down there. I wouldn't have nothing to do with them. Preacher, you just don't understand what type of people they are. Listen to me. Get beyond the carnality of it. Let's get beyond that. Let's get beyond the I like or who I dislike or who I think's right or who I think's wrong. I'm going to tell you this. There's going to be a lot of us get to heaven and find out we were really wrong. There's going to be a lot of us that thought we knew what was right. Preachers thought we preached what was right and find out, Brother James, we were wrong. So what do? We're working for one purpose. It's not to build Ronda Baptist Tabernacle. We're working to see people saved into the family of God. That's our purpose. So what does that mean, preacher? Back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, Paul was talking about this. He said in verse number 8, now that he planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. At the end of this life, all that matters is what you stand before God and how you stand before Him. It does not matter what church ran the most. Listen to me. Billy Graham stood before God. The man probably won more souls than any man in our lifetime. But you know what? He stood before God just like the pastor of a church of 8 people that has pastored there for 50 years and may have won 3 people. He stood before God in the same manner as that man did too. And he stood before God as the same drunk that got saved before he died. Or the murderer. He stood before God the same way. Now, no doubt, he receives his rewards. And there's rewards for laboring. No doubt about that. But you know what we do with those rewards? We cast them back at the Savior's feet. So they're really not our rewards. You say, why? Well, preacher, I want to feel good about it. You see, again, we want to serve ourselves and not God. And again, it's not about Ronda Baptist Tabernacle. That's all about Jesus. So if we can agree to work for Christ, for His fruit of the table, Brother Junior, if we can work together for His table, the church would be better off. You say, what do you mean? I'm not going to tell somebody no that's wanting to do something that's going to glorify God. It's going to brag on. Little Ian came up to me Sunday evening. Boy, he was pumped. He was excited. Dan was nervous. But he came up to me, and first thing he said, Preacher Josh, can I sing Jesus Loves Me? It would have been easy to brush him off because he's never sang before. I could have said, well, Ian, you've never sang before. Maybe you ought to practice before you sing. I said, you want to sing? Yeah, I want to sing. I said, all right. And boy, he took off just to get it. You know what's going to happen one day? Levi and Catherine are going to come up and they're going to say, Preacher, we really want to sing today. I'm going to say, well, what do you want to sing? I mean, as long as they ain't coming in here singing some AC/DC or some worldly mess, It's godly. I mean, it's what we believe. I'm going to say, sure. Let's sing. Preacher, what do you mean? You might have a work to do because your testimony. Somebody says, well, preacher, I've never gave a testimony. You know what blessed my heart? The ladies were over here. They were having a good time. And the men had got done washing feet Sunday night. And a little Levi spoke up. He said, Preacher Josh, he said, I want to thank God that I'm saved. And that I got to be here to be a part of this. A little Levi had never testified out in the open church. When he got saved, Brother Kenny, he was scared to death to come up here and tell the church he got saved. He had Brother Kenny up here. We was all up here. And he just said, I just got saved. And he shared a little bit and that was it. But Sunday evening, he had this big smile beaming on his face. And he spoke up right over that pew. I want to thank God I'm saved. You know what? That was a blessing to me. You know what that was? That was like one of those fresh squash got thrown in the skillet and I'm getting eaten. That's a fruit of the field. But you say, well, preacher, I just don't know about this. We're in this together. Whether you realize it or not, we're in this together. We will be rewarded for what we do, but our rewards are for Jesus. I want you to notice what he said, and I'm done. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. When we're building on Jesus, we're to pay attention how we're building. I want to say this to you, and I want you to have a full understanding of what I'm saying. It makes my heart feel good to see people come in on a Wednesday night and the house of God getting fuller. It makes my heart good to see so many first-time visitors on Sunday morning. It does my heart good. But I want to say this, Brother Chuck, that ain't one of them things that I reach around and say, good job. That ain't one of them things that I'm going to walk by and Brother James invited Dan and pat him on the back and say, good job, James, you got Dan to come to church. I'm not going to go by and pat myself on the back and say, you know, Chuck and Beverly's been coming here for a long time. Look what I've done. Listen, Beverly, she's going to throw a songbook in a minute. Y'all better watch out. Junior, she's going to hit you in the back of the head. No, I'm picking. But you know what? That's not what this is about. You know what I say? I say, God, if one gets saved, it's worth it all. All the heartache that we faced over the past 8-9 years, all the bitterness that we've run into, the wolves that we've run into, the hatefulness that we've run into, the harsh words about people about serving me and what I want, all that we've run into to see a new face come in and walk down the aisle and get saved. I say, God, you're awesome. Why? Because it shows me he's still real. To see a man, listen to me, to see a man that came down the aisle, listen to me, and told me, preacher, it was for me. It was for me. Under conviction of the Holy Ghost. And for a church. Now listen to me. I'm still praying for that man. Me and Brother Odin, we're praying. And we talk about it. And Brother Odin came to me Sunday. And Brother Odin was about to dance. He came up to me and nobody was else around. And he said, preacher, he's back. He's back. He's back. I said, well, praise the Lord. And I got to talk to him and, boy, he's getting some stuff settled. Might not have come down to the altar here, but he's getting some stuff settled in his life. You say, what are you getting at? We still need to keep praying for him. We need to keep praying for him. Listen to me. Whether it's in this altar at church or you go home and you get some stuff right, hey, wherever God puts it on your heart to get it right, hey, I glory in God in that. Because God's answering prayers. Why? Because we're working together. Working at heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Dan if he would come play safely, softly on the piano tonight.